Okay. All right. This is our sixth class on Hosea, and it's our second study on Lo Ruhama. Who knows what Lo Ruhama means? No mercy. No mercy, no pity. And it's the second conception and child of Hosea and Gomer. And is it a boy or is it a girl? It's a little baby girl. She's going to get bigger. Yep, and she's going to grow, and she's going to understand the heart of Jesus when he chastises her. Amen? Amen. Can that be the case for the bride? Do you think the bride needs to grow up from being a little wah-wah, oh, why is God dealing with me, wah? Yes. To, I understand the heart of my husband. He's doing this for an increase of Christ. I want to bring forth Lo-Ami, but I can't do that till Lo-Ruhama grows up. Amen? Looks like the Holy Spirit's already off to the races. Okay, because none of that was planned. So let's look at that for a second. We have this conception where the seed or the heart behind Lo Ruhama, no mercy, no pity, is meant to ignite in us that word of the Lord, that living word of God that is spirit and life and should grow in us and bring forth Jesus in a certain specific way. And there we have the second child, this little girl, Lo Ruhama, no mercy, no pity. And we are going to spend a lot of time on Lo Ruhama because the Lord said to, he's the head, so I just say, okay, you don't have to tell me why. I assume it's because we need it, but I don't know. I know I need it, and I know I need to just embrace his heart in this deeper than I do already, so God is precious to us. But this child, this little baby girl, like we just started talking about, the child form of this conception, no mercy, no pity, she'd probably be really freaked out and complaining when the Lord started dealing with her in this way. Amen? And how do we respond when the Lord's chastising us for more of his son? In fact, who can find the scripture in the book of Hebrews? Hebrews 12. Who can give me the verse 2? Let's look it up. That talks about how we are supposed to be with the Lord in times of chastisement. I think that fits just right in to Lo Ruhama. We know it's in chapter 12. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Okay, we've got someone who says it's 8. Let's just read a good bit of this. Here we go. I'm going to start in verse 5. This is Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. You hear those words? He didn't say, little baby girl. When you are rebuked of the Lord. He said, my son. Have you ever heard the word cowboy up? Get up. Get with your dad. Come on now. You're no little baby. You're maturing. That's why I'm dealing with you as a son, as my son by Christ. So start acting like it. Amen. Amen. I think we can say that. Okay. Which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Has anyone ever worked in a daycare with little babies, little toddler babies? And you say, the little kid's about to put his finger in a hot stove. No, don't do that. Don't stop. And they go, and their little heart, you ever see that? And they're just like, the little heart gets broken because you yelled at them just so they wouldn't burn their little finger off. And they're just like, You know, it's like, don't faint when you're rebuked. You're not a little toddler. You know, your comprehension of God should go beyond, he's mad at me because he yelled at me for touching a hot stove. Something in our hearts should be maturing past the child view into the son view of, my dad knows what's best for me. He loves me, and he's trying to bring me into something that's going to save my life. And through me, save the lives of others, because I'm entering into Christ crucified through Christ being formed in me. Amen. Okay, that's maturity there at work. And we're talking about maturing here in these verses. And we're talking about maturing in our conception of Christ as our life in the book of Hosea. And Lo Ruhamah is an incredible portion of your maturity as a believer and as a bride, as a son of God in the image of Christ. If this conception, if this reality is not worked in each believer, each member of the body of Christ, then I don't know how you ever get beyond these things into the deeper things of his life formed in you, because God has to chastise every son he receives. If you can't be chastised of God, you're never going to go forth into the greater things of his life in you. Why? Because the word of God says it. Forget about me. I don't know nothing. Don't listen to me. Dispute what I say. Go to the word of God and find what the Lord says in the scriptures. Okay? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. And here's a mind-blowing scripture. And this is verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises and scourges every son whom he receives. How many want to be received? How many want to mature? How many want to go past the baby things into the Son of God things where Christ is formed in you? How many of you are big babies when God deals with you? Huh? Okay. You think it might be time to gird up the loins of your mind and get with your father on a few things? Okay. All right. All right, verse 7, if you endure, okay, listen to the words, if, that means there's a possibility you won't. Because it's not saying when you endure, it's saying if. In other words, there's free will involved to each and every child who experiences scourging, experiences chastisement, discipline. Now, we have to make a point here. I just feel like it's important. I believe probably all of you understand this, but there may be one who listens to this in years to come that doesn't. Chastisement, scourging, discipleship, none of that is punishment. Punishment never happens to a believer. All punishment happened to Jesus on the cross for our sins. There's no double jeopardy. We don't get punished twice, where Jesus got punished and then we get again punished for the same sin that he bore on Calvary. No, sir. God settled that issue by the blood and death of his son. The full penalty of sin was paid through the death of Jesus Christ on the behalf of all of our sins. It is a free gift of God by grace through the death of Jesus for our sins. Now that's punishment. Chastisement is not punishment. Chastisement, therefore, is not rejection. God rejected Jesus on Calvary because he was bearing the punishment for our sins. When God saw Jesus full of our sin, he said, I reject you, and he turned his back on him. And Jesus said, my God, why are you forsaking me? God said, because you're bearing their sin, and I reject, I punish, I turn my back on. I cannot receive that. Okay, so where does rejection come? Rejection comes with punishment. But my Bible says that chastising and scourging is God receiving sons. That's verse 6. Every son he chastises and scourges, he receives. Okay? So you can go, and this is the little baby girl, Lo Ruhamah, the unformed. God's being mad. He's mad at me. He hates me. He's rejecting me. He doesn't love me anymore. He's never going to be nice to me again. You know, that is not God receiving somebody when they're getting in trouble. That is someone thinking they're being rejected and refused and separated. That can't be right. My Bible says when God is chastising somebody, he's trying to receive them into the spirit of the family. But that little baby girl that's crying called Lo Ruhama, why am I saying baby girl? Because Lo Ruhama was the only girl Hosea and Gomer had. I'm not thinking of some personal woman or female believer. I'm thinking of the entire bride of Christ, made of male and female members, that is in a young, unformed state in the regards to knowing how to deal with the discipline of God in their own lives and maturity. That's the baby girl I'm referring to, the church that doesn't know the Lord's heart when he's dealing with them in chastisement, an unformed helpmate for God. She doesn't know his mind yet. She hasn't moved into why he's doing what he's doing. She hasn't seen his heart. She's not formed as a bride. She's just a little baby girl, okay? But she needs to grow up, and she needs to find the heart of her husband. She needs to know the heart of the Father through oneness with his Son. She needs to mature and press past her fears and her carnal views and understandings of what's going on. That's maturity, isn't it? When you have a child and you discipline them, and they go, well, thank you. You know what? I needed that. I was completely out of tune. I was not in the family spirit. I was about to wreak a world of havoc on myself and everybody else, and you stopped me. Not only stopped me, you trained me. You're helping me for the sake of others, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of your spirit going forth in the earth through your body, your family, your bride. This is good. That's a Lo Ruhama becoming a woman, amen? She's maturing. The conception is not just a little baby, unformed thing. Now it's becoming something of stature, something with strength in it and a purpose and understanding. It's being formed. Christ is being formed in that believer, in this area, specific area that's needed to continue on in his image, in the greater things of his life. Okay? So we have to understand this, because if we don't, just forget it. We're going to be like, why am I in Babylon? Why am I in Assyria? Because God hates me. Because I failed him and he's rejecting me. There's no more hope. I've ruined everything because I'm such a failure. He doesn't love me anymore. That sounds like punishment, doesn't it? You guys think I'm silly, but I want to tell you something. I am being you right now. I know. Maybe I'm not. Honestly, I just had to say that for the one or two people. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. For the one or two people out there who do that, I'm sure it's only one or two of you. I will say it is me. It is me if it's no one else. That is me. But not anymore. Not as much. I want to say this. Not as much anymore, because I am beginning to know my heart, the heart of my Lord. Christ is being formed in me. And this may be funny, but let me tell you, this is dead serious. Dead serious. This is not a joke. People need this, or they're not going to move past this area. And God's never going to be able to deal with them. The enemy's always going to come in there and unite with their carnal mind and conceive lies against God. They're never going to be able to be brought into the deeper things of Christ crucified, and their life will not bring forth the fruit they long to bring forth. So be serious right now with me. I know I'm being funny, but I'm not trying to make you laugh. I'm trying to make you receive something from God's heart, okay? I know I'm a funny person. I have the gift of humor, just teasing. No, but you have to hear what the Spirit's saying behind that, because it's really important. It's really important. It's really important. How many people can say in the past week that God dealt with them and they were just weeping in their heart in some place? God was not pitying their flesh, and they got all hurt and wondered if God still loved them, or wondered if... You know what? That's okay. It's okay, because if you can be honest about that, the Holy Spirit can come in and begin to show you God's true heart. Amen? God can begin to show you, hey, God is loving on you right now. God is trying to receive you right now. God is drawing you deeper into himself right now. God has got his hand on your life because he believes in the seed of Christ that is in you, and he wants it to grow all the way to full maturity. God has a plan for you, so he's going to deal with you like a son. And he'll take as long as, that's what Galatians 4, which is the chapter that talks about son training. Look it up. As long as it takes, you'll be under those tutors and governors. But Man, if you begin to comprehend the heart of Jesus in these things, the seed which is Christ revealed in you will begin crying out, Abba, Father! Abba, Father! Yes, Lord! That's why we went through this. Father, be glorified. Christ is coming forth now, and I see that this was all to bring forth the seed, which is Christ, a spirit of sonship, the spirit of the Son, towards his Father, now in the middle of these things, that I used to be so selfish and carnal with other lovers, with other sources. Now, by Christ, I'm a son of God, and I am with my Father, and the spirit of adoption is pouring out of my innermost being to God and others, as long as till the seed. Son training. Lo Ruhama. Can't have this thing we call the revelation of Christ without going through this conception of not I, not pity on my flesh, no hope for the things that aren't the Son in me. You know, God has to judge those things in us. Yes, they were judged on Calvary, but they have to reach our hearts to have effect in our walk. And that's why the Spirit starts administrating this conception, remember, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit she conceived of the seed, which was Christ, the living Word, the Son Word that would come out of her being. That Holy Spirit has to overshadow us with what happened in his death so it can have root and ground and informity in us, see? And so we need this conception of Lo Ruhama. We need it to be formed in us. It needs to be so practical that when God, our Father, starts dealing with us, scattering us, chastising us, speaking to us in ways that we don't understand or evoke fear or carnal response, that we mature past our view into his heart. And so much so that when we're stuck in Babylon for 70 years or Assyria for however many years, or we're scattered to the four corners, we become little sanctuaries. Because it's there that Christ is revealed in us. We find him. Read your Old Testament. Read Jeremiah. Read Ezekiel. Read Isaiah. Read the prophets. I will be unto them there in the land of their exile, a little sanctuary. And they shall know me if they search for me with all their heart. And it's that soul. It's that soul that has to say, I am not going to be a baby. Who needs to be weaned? Babies that don't want to go off the milk. What part of our being does the Bible say needs to be weaned? Our soul. Where does it say that? In the Psalms, that my soul would be as a weaned child. So our souls need to be weaned. Has anyone ever seen a child when it's being weaned? Here we go again. You know, we have the same response, don't we? Oh, I want my milk, I want my mommy, I want my comfort. You know, but we have to let the baby cry and be weaned. We have to let our soul go through its freak out and not feed it. Has anyone ever really walked through that valley? I'm going to raise my hand like about 7,000 times since I've known Jesus. My soul is such a baby. I've had to take it to the cross daily. Jesus said, deny your soul every day and follow me. And I tell you what, he was thinking of me when he said no. I was thinking of all of us, but you know, my soul is a little monster in there. It just wants its way. It wants to know that it's loved. It wants sense realm proof. It wants everything to go the way it thinks it should go if it's being accepted. And you know, but that soul works against the maturing of the seed of Christ within us. And it needs to be weaned. It needs to be weaned so that we can understand the spirit of the family that we're birthed out from, that we can enter into the kingdom of God, so Christ can be formed in us, so we can be soldiers, amen, soldiers in the Lord's army, that we can go through things and that we can know the heart of the Lord when there's a storm and everyone thinks God is forsaking them, that we can know the one we serve when the dying of the Lord Jesus is upon us and everyone's accusing us, and we can know the Lord's heart when nothing goes our way, but we know we're dead with Christ and Christ is our life. And we can know our God in whom we've believed. And we can gather others up into that, no matter what their soul is feeling, no matter what the circumstance is saying, no matter how bad things in the earth are getting, that tribulation will work for us and not against us because we know our God. When do you know your God in such a manner that you have that formed in you? During this time of Lo Ruhama, being conceived and formed. During this time period when Christ is not formed in you, When you are all selfish and you are all soulish, and it's, yes, you're dead with Christ. Yes, Jezreel has taken you into that death. And yes, you're in the family. You're married. You're joined. You're one with Jesus. But your soul's like a wild Indian. It's out there just doing its own thing and untamed. God begins to take you into the intimacy of his care. And he begins to deal with you as a son. And he takes away those things that used to feed your soul and make you far from him. Lord, why did you remove the one thing that was the foreign God that was my source apart from you? And why are you scattering me from all these lovers that used to take your place in my life that I really liked? Because God is jealous. Because, number one, God's real. Hello. He's real. Yeah, he's really your husband. He's really your father. He's for real. He's not a big doctrine in the sky. And he gets jealous. Can I just say that? Well, it's just little old me. I mean, I just really like having all kinds of soul ties with different people because it makes me feel needed. So what's the big deal? God's big. He doesn't care. No, you're a member of his body. You're a member of his bride. Those are other lovers. Those affect his heart. That affects him. It may not affect you, but it affects him. And as you see how it affects him, it'll start affecting you. Amen? Because you love him. We just don't always know these things. And he loves us. He wants to bring us in. So it's important to realize, you know, that these three conceptions that are happening in the first chapter of Hosea, man, they're not just some mystical, deeper, whoa, cool, whatever that meant. It was deep, and it was cool. And it was just one little chapter in the Bible. Doesn't really, no, that's an ancient path. That thing is the same process you're going to go through, whether you're in the book of Jeremiah, whether you're in the book of Romans, whether you're in the book of Genesis, whether you're in the book of Revelation, that same ancient path of Christ being formed in you, you're not going to escape it. Even if you just call it a little chapter in Hosea that was too deep to get, then you're going to have to find it in Romans, then you're going to have to find it in Jeremiah, then you're going to have to find it somewhere else. You will be encountered with the need for your soul to be weaned, for you to receive the chastisement of God your Father in a certain spirit, so that the Spirit of the Son can be revealed and flow out of you, so that you can enter into oneness with Christ in his Lamb nature in your walk, and be a vessel, a dying seed, a vessel that bears the dying of his Son, the dying of the Lord Jesus in our mortal flesh. You know what I mean? Isn't that cool? It is so cool. Now, the good news is our soul makes it so hard. We're just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. Can you hear a little baby girl, little Ruhama? She's doing it again. She's there. Here she goes. I can't do this. Now it's not God doesn't love me. Maybe she's convinced that God loves her, so she's okay with that one. But then the soul's going to go, but I can't do it. And here we've got the little baby again in the toddler room. Now I need you to be a big girl and pick up your trash, put it in the basket. And she's over the fact that she's loved, whether she picks up the trash or not. She's got that. She's okay. She's not going to go into the desperate, no one loves me cry. But now she's going to go into this, her soul is going to go into this cry. But I can't do it. I really need these other lovers. They make me feel good. Lo Ruhama, baby girl, there she comes. It's our soul. And we sit there in that terrified state and go, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get the trash from here to there? I barely just learned how to walk last week. Guess I could crawl it over. And we go through all these things. Maybe if I just don't say anything for a week, she'll forget about that piece of trash. You know, God isn't asking our souls to perform it. He's asking us to deny our soul and conceive of his Spirit that we are now joined to, and by Christ in us overcome. In other words, be his wife. Instead of this foreigner that's governed by our soul that does things our own way and can't conceive of any other way of doing it besides our own way. Babies in the family, beloved of God, one with Jesus, Jezreel, completion, totally in, but unformed. This is in regards to our walk, not our acceptance. But the day has to come as long as, if you endure chastising. Whenever that day comes, when the heart turns towards the Lord, when the heart opens to the Father, then it goes, you know what, I got to get out of me. I have got to get out of the land of Kelly, the land of Adam, the land of me. I got to get out of the land of Soulville. And I've got to marry the Lamb. I've got to marry Jesus in this situation. I have to know myself as one with him and not my soul separate from him in my old ways. And so once again, we're brought right back to the second verse of Hosea. And Hosea took her into himself, and Gomer let him. Remember, Gomer could have said, but I am a harlot. But my sins are too many. I can't get better. I am too far gone. No, Gomer let Hosea marry her. She received grace. Has that changed now that we're in Lo Ruhamahville and God's dealing with us as sons, trying to bring us into the family spirit? No, because that soul, just like Gomer in her harlotry when Hosea first came to her, that soul has to look up from her pity party, her no mercy and pity party, and go, hey now, I am married to Hosea. I am married to salvation. I am married to Jesus. We already went past Jezreel, where I was sown into his death and raised up as his wife, a member of his body, a member of his bride. I am not this pitiful little forsaken creature that can't do anything because I don't have the power in myself to do it. I am partaker of his divine nature. I have the power of an endless life. We're married. We're one. Soul, get up. Get up. Get up and remember who you are. Eyes, lift up. Lift up. Lift up into the God who is your life. Feet, stand up, stand up. Arms, quit hanging down. Lift up. Knees, straighten up and be brought forth in health through this chastisement instead of taken outside the way. Come on now. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you through this situation. God is maturing you as his bride, as a member of his bride, as his son in the image of Christ. And it's our place to find his heart. Amen? It's our place to find his heart. If you want a war against the worst enemy of the whole kingdom of God, look right inside at your own soul. It's the only one that's going to rip it all away from you. Brother Bobby, Sister Susie, situation, crisis, none of them has the power to destroy your relationship with Jesus like your own soul has. It is your number one worst enemy. It is the one who can take it all down in a heartbeat. Make it enemy number one and wean it. Don't make it you. Don't make it you. Don't look at your soul and say, well, that's me. I am my soul. No, you are your spirit. You are one with Jesus. You are crucified with Christ. Jesus didn't say identify with your soul. He said deny it. And identify with the Lamb of God. Follow in oneness the Lamb. So when you see your soul, don't go, well, that's me. That's who I am. The soul not being our personality, but that self-absorbed part of us, right? That carnal, fleshly, self-absorbed, old Adamic motivational system that functions in our mind, will, and emotion. That's not you. You are a new creation in union with Christ Jesus, and all things have become new. And you're one spirit with the Lord. Amen? You're complete in him. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You know the scriptures, but they're true. Okay, so that's the you identify with. And the you that you don't identify with as the number one enemy is your soul. And you say, soul, I am not going to let you, if you will, abort this conception. If you will. I'm just using an idea. But I'm not going to let you stop this child from coming forth into complete manifestation. Soul, you're not going to abort this conception. Why? Because I want Christ formed. Oh, I just don't want to miss the Lord. Well, isn't missing the Lord just a little bit too, it kind of makes it so random that it doesn't even seem wrong. Oh, I miss the Lord. How about I aborted a conception that the Spirit of God was trying to work in me for the increase of his Son in the earth through this vessel right here? I allowed my soul to abort that. Yeah, I did, because I let it whine. I believed the report of my own view, my own carnal view, in the face of everything God was speaking to me by his Spirit, by his Word. Yeah, I did. I allowed that abortion to happen of this specific thing that, of course, God will he'll continue to sow his life. But this specific time, the soul got it. The soul manifested. The other lovers won. And I had fruit by them. Isn't that neat? I have fruit. I had fruit with my wayward soul. I got this little baby called Rebellion. Isn't he cute? Look at little Rebellion. He wears this little cowboy. He's got this little, I'm a little rebel, red little rebel flag. Yeah, he's a cute, no. That's, I ain't going to have any mercy on that kid. You're mean. You won't have mercy on the fruit of my conception with my soul against the seed of Christ in me? And the working of the Spirit in that area of my life? You're not going to just have pity on that? Pity on my babies? The babies I brought forth from uniting with your enemy and believing your enemy and receiving your enemy and then bringing forth manifestation of it in my attitudes? You should love that. You're God. What does it say in Hosea chapter 2? Who can find the verse? Who can find the verse I'm speaking of? Chapter 2 and verse 4. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. My Bible says it. What are you talking about? That's just weird Old Testament stuff. Just Israel. I don't know. That doesn't affect. What? Come on. These things are shadows. We're the real. Why don't you be more nice to little Rebellion? He's just a kid. Why don't you have mercy on this thing that was conceived out of selfishness and rejection of you? How come you're so mean, God? You just don't have any mercy on me. No pity. Man, how far are we from seeing the real situation? Contend with your mother, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. God would just say, just kind of let her know. She's real open to hearing from me, so if you just say it, she'll receive it. No, contend is a word that is used in conflict, in debate, in struggle, in fierce difference of opinion. Contend with her. She really does not see this for what it is. She really thinks it's no big deal. I don't know what the big deal is. I'm just, you know, out there with a couple wild vines. You know, this area just isn't dealt with. I just kind of want to go my own way still. Contend with her, for she's not my wife, and I'm not her husband. She doesn't understand the real situation. She keeps calling it something that makes it lighter than what it is. Maybe that makes it okay to stay in union with the enemy of God. It makes it okay to not hear his voice, to not respond to his heart. Now, there's a timing in this. When God was dealing with her on Jezreel, he didn't even bring up Lo Ruhamah. And when God's dealing on Lo Ammi, Lo Ruhamah's done. But there is a day and there is a season when the Spirit of the living God is putting his finger on your life in this specific conception, in this specific situation. And in that day and at that time when the Lord is dealing with you and me in this area, we need to be serious. These words may not have any impact right now because it's not where you're at and it shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't, because it's not where the Lord has you. But if God has us here, then these words should be mighty encouraging. Now, I can only say this. This is the way the Lord has spoken these words to me in my personal walk. And when he makes them real to me like this, it does nothing but draw me closer to him. I mean, I have gained so much Jesus and gotten so much. He's given me so much strength to stand against my soul by showing me these things. It's like all of a sudden the lines are drawn in my mind and in my heart. I'm like, you're my enemy. I don't know. No, that's not me. That's not me. I'm with him. I love my Father. I know his heart. And no, I am weaning you. You are not going to, you know, rob this manifestation of the Son. And I, Father, yes, sir. Amen. Yes, Dad. Big hug. Amen. I don't care what my soul or the enemy says or the world or anything. I know your heart. I have the family spirit. Let's do this. Let's do it in Babylon. Let's do it in Assyria. Let's do it in the middle of this crisis. Let's do it in the middle of my pity party. Let's do it in the middle of all my fears. Let's just rise up, oh God, and bring forth the Spirit of Christ in the middle of this, and let this thing work together for good to those who love God and want to be conformed to the image of his Son. All these things work together. Amen. That's that heart that he's cultivating in a bride. A bride, that's what this book's about. This kind of relationship, getting that bride heart getting strong. We always want love to be some sappy thing, like the little baby girl, Lo Ruhama. If you love me, you pity me and comfort me and make everything. You know, no, that's not love. Love is not sparing the child, but chastising it. In Proverbs, it says, hate the son, spare the rod. Not spare the rod, spoil the child. Hate the child, spare the rod. That's scripture. God loves us way too much to just feed our souls all the way to just complete. Who are you? What spirit are you of? What family were you born? What bastard child? Another thing it says in Hebrews, not my word. No, he won't say, I want you to be right there. Oh, I know who you are. You're in the image of my son. Yes. Enter in. You know it. You know it. Oh, man, it was so worth it to go through that. You found me. You grew in my image. You brought forth of my son. You are after my kind. Yes, it was worth it all. It was so worth it all, Lord. Nobody enjoys scourging, chastisement. It says it in Hebrews. Nobody enjoys it, but it brings forth so much fruit. You got to tell yourself that. I will go through this. I will go through this with the Lord. I will wean my soul. I will not make excuses. I will not try to find ways out. I will press past the veil of my own understanding into the Holy of Holies of his heart, and I will join with the Lamb, and I will find the heart of God, and I will conceive of the things that were in him when he brought me to this point. And he allured me into the wilderness, and he sang unto me in the valley of Achor, and he brought me to this place of trouble to find him in a new and deeper way than I could have ever found anywhere else. Lo Ruhama. Lo Ruhama. Don't miss out on Lo Ruhama. It's one of the best places I've ever known, Lord. Because it's so, it's like, I don't know, I never read Pilgrim's Progress, but I know there's lots of movies where there's like the sand pit. They're on some kind of a adventure journey, and they hit the sand pit, and it's like everyone just falls in there. Like, one out of 100 goes, I'm gonna walk around this sand trap and get this. Lo Ruhama is like a big old sand pit. The soul is the sand, the sinking sand, the muck and mire. And it's like everyone does great. I'm gonna get up to this point. Then they get to the sand pit, the soul, the muck and mire pit. And God starts dealing with them to bring forth the son, to get out of that old spirit into his family. And just one after the other, that soul draws them like quicksand. That soul, they put one foot in because they listen to their soul a little while, and they start getting mad at God and accusing. The enemy gets in there with snakes and deep poison. And all, the quicksand, right? And just one after the other sucked into the sand pit, one after the other. And the Lord delivers us all because he's our Father and we're one with Jesus, and we all fail. I've got sucked into that sand more times than I can count. But then the day comes, I go, oh, I've been to this sand pit. I know this sand pit. I have my body markings all over the sand pit from the 10 years and then 9. And then I go, today, and day of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, everything's set up for me to go into the sand pit. My soul's ready to get sucked in. The enemy's standing right there with all his lies. Circumstances are pushing me in. My fears are just wanting to go right under. I go, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to go right past this sand pit into the kingdom of God. And you do it. It happens. Lo Ruhama grows up and starts to come forth in the image of Christ. It's phenomenal. You can hear the enemy going, what just happened? No way, especially her. She always falls for that. Always. I mean, there's been times when I have looked at the enemy and I just went, right now, I am putting my boot on your head. And I just, in the name of Jesus. And because he knew that everything was set up to suck me down. But by Christ, see, that first move is to unite with him. My soul says I'm separate. My spirit says I'm one with Jesus. His life is in me. The strength of his life is in me. You start priming that pump. You start drawing up the spirit of Christ from deep within your inner man. And all of a sudden, dude, that overcoming life of Christ in you starts coming forth like rivers of living water. And you are overcoming through Jesus Christ, your life, your husband, the one you're joined to, who you really are. And the soul goes, what? I want to line up and be a part of this. You know what I mean? And it just goes, whoop, let's do it. I want to be with Jesus. And spirit, soul, body, are you coming? I'm coming. Let's go. Yeah, I am being made whole. Sanctified, spirit, soul, and body unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, my life. Does that sound good? Man, but you got to fight for that one. You got to passion, bride words. You got to passion it. The passion that says no to the soul and yes to the heart of Jesus that doesn't look like it loves you, but you know true love is not leaving you the way you are, but bringing you in to who he is in oneness. Isn't it great? To partake of his holiness as a son in the image of Christ. Oh, gosh, now. These things can't be cheap, can they? We don't earn them, but we certainly purchase them with our decisions, with our choices. But let me tell you, each one of you in this room has done this so many times, and everyone can walk up to this podium and give their personal testimony of how they've experienced this time and time again. And maybe mine would be the least of everyone in this room. But it doesn't matter because we're one. If we one of us is experienced, we rejoice. We're a member of each other. If Joseph has this working in him, then we rejoice that one of the members has it. We're together because we're a body. And maybe I'll get it too. And then Caitlin's going to get it too. And Lindsay's going to get it. And she's got it already maybe. And we grow up into the head and all things as his body together. But we're growing up into him as the head, not our idea of love, not our idea of pity, not our idea of mercy. It has to be conceived by the Spirit, what is in the head, what is his view, what is his mind, what is his way in this. And let me tell you, at the end of the great day of Jezreel, Israel and Judah come together under one head. That's the end of chapter 1. So it's not just thoughts, it's in the verses we're looking at. Isn't it beautiful? And we look at each other at the end and we go, like guys who are on the battlefield in the trenches for a long time and every kind of bullet and every kind of adversary and every kind of thing to wear them down and turn them against each other and make them leave. You know, we withstood it together in ourselves but with one another. And we, at the end of the day, we look at each other and we go, oh my gosh, this is so worth it, man. You don't get that until you fought for it, right? I mean, that comes, that good fight of faith. And when you start maturing, yes, Joseph has a comment, these kind of things begin to come forth.
I was just thinking, I mean, we don't even really see the demonic attachments, you know, that he's trying to pull us away from until we let go and start to, you know, let that selfishness or whatever it is. And I was thinking about a scripture in Job that says that, and it's talking about Leviathan, that he's the king of all the sons of pride. And, you know, whether it be pride or selfishness or whatever thing it is, it's like there's attachments that are from the enemy. Like you were saying before, it's like he's trying to joust, he's trying to pull us away from what is dangerous. It's not just our soul going through something. He's trying to get us away from the enemy so that he can have us. And we can have him and be free.
That's so good. Joseph, thank you, because Joseph is seeing the heart. And I mean, just what Joseph just shared is just a sign that he is with the Lord. I mean, you know, that is, you can't say stuff like that until you spend some time looking into the heart of God and saying, hey, this is why you're doing this, no matter how it looks or feels. And our first testimony, I mean, to me, that's a testimony, not just a comment, of someone who's probably been through a lot and has found the heart of God in it. And that's, oh, so much sweeter. It's so much sweeter. These giants are bred for us. I mean, God, in chapter 2, I knew we were going to spend a long time on Lo Ruhama, and I haven't even started my notes, which was just so sweet. It was dripping with sweetness, and I don't want to blame it on the Lord, but it just seemed to go another direction today. Forgive me for the Kelly parts in that, because I know I need so much more of Jesus, and you can pray for me. But don't dismiss what might be Christ, amen, even if it comes through a donkey. Still get Jesus. Pray for me, though. but I just believe that there are amazing things. Please keep reading chapter 2. Please, because eternal betrothals, singing in the wilderness, him making her naked in front of all the other lovers who she used to think were so great and now laugh and leave. Why does he do all this? I love what Joseph said. Not to shame her, not to make her feel bad. He's saving her. His name is salvation. Hosea means salvation. He loves her so much. He's like, I cannot let you stay with that creep when I know you want me. You love me and you belong to me. And if it makes you have, if you need to have a revelation of what that creep really is, then I'm going to help you see him for what he is. So from your heart, you'll say, I don't want to join with that anymore. Ooh, I want to go back to my first husband. These are scriptures in chapter 2, because it was better with him, and all my wool and oil and wine came from him anyway. This guy was just a fraud, appealing to my soul that's all messed up, going by what it feels and thinks it needs, and not seeing the beauty of the one I'm already married to. Oh, thank you for dealing with me so I could wake up and from my heart choose you, because you really are the one I want. Amen? And so once again, there's just so much love, isn't there? I just want to say this. We won't go much longer, but it can get so, in my own experience, it can get so scary sometimes to my soul when the Lord's dealing with me and he's, I mean, God is passionate from my personal experience. I'm just talking not as a teacher, but just as a sister. In my personal experience, God is so passionate. I'm like, my Lord, Father, you're so passionate about your son and you're so passionate about his body being in his image, but it's the passion of love, not the passion of a fury. All that was put on Jesus on Calvary when he died as us. But there's this passion of desire and of love and of accepting us. And that, I mean, he's crazy. He, in a good way, he moves heaven and earth to deal with just one son. He will move heaven and earth to deal with just one son and bring earthquakes and the mountains fall into the sea and the shake with the swelling thereof. But therefore, will not we fear? For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Christ is in her, she shall not be moved. No, God allows our soul and all of its quicksand things and all of its other lovers and all of its lies and all of its false vines to just be shaken right into the sea. But we don't have to fear. We don't have to be moved because we're not the quicksand and we're not the soul and we're not the other lovers and we're not the false vine and we're not the little baby crying and unweaned. We're one with Christ and we shall not be moved. We're on the solid ground of union in the rock of our salvation. We are raised and seated together in heavenly places in Christ and nothing can shake us out of that, not even our wayward souls. We are anchored behind the veil when our soul is going 90 to nothing in the winds of every kind of God doesn't love me, God won't have pity on my flesh, every other accusation and demonic whirlwind out there. We have an anchor. We're one with Jesus. And in time, this stream is going to make glad the bride of Christ. And Jesus is going to start bubbling up. And the spirit of adoption is going to start coming forth. And this formed Christ is going to start manifesting. And it is going to be three words. Worth it all. Worth it all. But only those who go through this conception to the end will be able to say those words. It was worth it all. Well, I believe everyone in this room and those on Skype, I believe that's us. I believe that's why we're here. I believe we're all together in this, not one better and not one worse. Not one better and not one worse. Not one better and not one worse. We're all on the same level. We're his one bride, we're his one body, we're members of each other, and we're in this together. And the Lord is our salvation. And he will save us from our souls. And he will save us from our carnal minds. And he will save us from our other lovers. Can I get an amen? Amen. He will. Can you believe that? Can you not listen to what your soul is saying? I can't live without it, but I can't do it. Don't listen to that. That's not you. God's not going to ask you to do it. He will save you from your soul. When David's soul was not wanting to be with the Lord, when David's soul was like his enemy in the Psalms, you know what David did? He said, God, deliver me from my enemy. God, you're the only one who can deliver me from my soul. I can't deliver me from my soul, but God, you can. And even in that, he looked to the Lord and not to himself. So let's just put our faith in God. Let's not look at ourselves and our weaknesses and in our unweaned places and in our soulish tendencies. That's not who we are. We are married to Hosea. We are one with Jesus. And he will betroth us all the way through this until it is Christ. Amen. God is for us, not against us. That's why he's chastising us. Because he loves us and he's receiving us. And may our first homework assignment be that we believe that report instead of what our soul says. Amen. We believe this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe your spirit is here. Your spirit is here to lift us up outside of old paths of fear, old paths of shutting down to the deep things of your heart when you are guiding us into the family spirit in greater measure. Father, we want to escape the sandpit of our soul, the muck and mire of our own understanding, and we want to enter into the kingdom of God and let Christ be formed in us. Lord, if the mountains are shaking and swelling and falling into the sea and you're allowing everything that can be shook to be shook in both earth and in heaven, Lord, we will not be moved. We have an anchor behind the veil. We have a place in God, sealed and settled and forever safe. And it is from there we cry out unto you, Lord, deliver me from my own soul. Bring forth Christ in me. Guide me through this valley of trouble, this valley of Achor, this valley of Jezreel, and the portion of it called Lo Ruhamah, until I can come forth in the image of Christ, until I can come forth in the image of the Son, mature and ready to bear in my body his dying now, and not just the sufferings of a wayward soul. Do it by your Spirit, Lord. Make this more than a class. Make this a bride heart crying out as one bride. Be it unto us according to all that's in your heart. Bring forth according to your need and your desire from your body. Please do not stop until you make Jerusalem a praise. Please do not stop until it is truly Christ in us. Forgive us for our sins and our soulishness and our selfishness. Forgive us for every time we have gone away from you and joined with other lovers and brought forth fruit from the flesh. Father, cover all that with the blood of Jesus. Thank you that it is removed, crucified, and buried in his death, and we reckon it so by faith. Thank you for this clean slate because of the death of Jesus. Because of the cross of Christ, where we can just begin right this moment, one with you, old things passed away, and everything being brought into union with Christ crucified, our true husband. Have your way, Lord. We believe it and we're with you in our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm just going to say, let's take a few minutes with the Lord. I'm going to be with those on Skype, but in the classroom, let's take just 5 minutes to just spend some time with Jesus instead of just getting up. Unless you need to use the bathroom, then please use the bathroom. But let the Lord continue to minister to your heart, and then at about 15 past, we'll have our transcribing time begin, okay? Thanks, guys. Thank you.